Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3 Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Trump is set to speak after court wrap, so we will bring it to you live, of course, so you won't miss a second. And he'll be in Wildwood on Saturday, and we'll be watching together. Big watch party coming up in Mulligan Shore Bar. 5 p.m. is when the rally gets going. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. And on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thanks for joining us in Cape May, by the way. We had a great time, great crowd, great people, and thank you for making it probably our most successful Cape May show yet. So we'll be back there June 21st, before you know it. So make your reservations now before they sell out. The other thing, too, that I wanted to mention is, you know, in everything that's happening in the age of cancel culture, I found this to be just amazing. And somebody sent this to me on Twitter today, but it's just, it's remarkable, actually. So Michael Smirkanish, who used to be the morning show host here and then was the afternoon show host, and I mean, you know who the guy is, obviously. He was on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD for years. And then he went syndicated, and now he's on the Sirius XM Patriot, or POTUS channel, excuse me, not Patriot, POTUS channel. He endorsed Obama back in 2008, which made a lot of people very, very upset, to say the least. And that kind of haunts us a little bit today. I mean, it used to, I don't think as much anymore, but it used to for years. People would always be kind of wondering, like, are you going to pull the rug out from under me too one day? And that's why I make all my jokes, you know, about shaving my head and endorsing Obama. But I love my hair too much. And I love keeping my lush, thick mane. I would never do it. But you have to if you want a show on CNN on Sunday mornings, apparently, or Saturday mornings. But well, he was going to deliver the commencement at Dickinson College. But they've canceled him. So even though his show is mostly catered to the left, although, you know, Smirkanish says he's up the middle and that's his whole thing, but I don't really believe there's a middle. I don't believe anybody has a middle. I think you have a side, and you pick your side and you stay on your side. It doesn't mean that you don't cross on certain issues, but this idea that there's a middle or there's the purple or there's no labels or anything, it's all BS. You know it and I know it. Everybody's got a bias. And it was a good shtick for a while. The idea that it's like, hey, unlike everybody else, you know, I'm right in the middle. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am in the middle with you. The reason why the middle doesn't work is because if you stay in the middle of the road, you get hit by oncoming traffic in both lanes. Both lanes. It's not a safe place to be. It just isn't. And the other reason why it doesn't work is because inevitably, in this day and age, if you play with the left, you can never be far left enough for them. There, you can never satisfy these people. So if you go down that road of trying to placate the left, you will inevitably wind up being canceled by them because you can never be left enough for these people. So you wind up making a huge career mistake. Whereas, look, I mean, if you are true to yourself and you really believe that Barack Obama is the best choice for president, but you've been a Republican your whole life and you were a McCain guy, and or were you doing that because you wanted a show, because you wanted to get an MSNBC show, you thought it would help your career, you thought things were changing, angry is over. So I remember that slogan, angry is over, and I thought, I mean, I'm not angry. I get angry, and you would not want to see me when I'm angry, just like the Hulk. It's not a pretty picture. But I'm not angry. I have very passionate opinions. I feel very strongly about fighting for liberty and defending the Constitution and fighting to keep the government off our back. I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I'm fired up. I think you are too. The notion that talk radio was angry belongs in the same myth category as white rural rage. It's not true. Now, there are hosts who are angry as part of their shtick. I mean, Levin, I love Levin, but he yells all the time. But that's his shtick. Like, if you've been around Mark Levin in person as many times as I have, or even just once, like the time he came down to Pittman and we had that event right before the world ended, he's a very, very low-key guy. I mean, he's low-key is probably not the right word for it, but, you know, the yelling on the radio thing it's his shtick. I'm not saying he doesn't really feel fired up. Everything that comes out of his mouth is 100% authentic, but, and I don't always agree with him, and he still lets me fill in for him, even though I don't always agree with him. But, like, it's not angry. Angry was never the thing. Rush Limbaugh, who was the greatest to ever do this, and dare I say, nobody will ever be any better, was never angry. Rush used humor as much as possible to satirize the nonsense that's going on. But it was a thing. It was a marketing gimmick. Angry is over. And, you know, the corporate suits love it because they believe falsely that that's how you win over consumers and advertisers, that you be some moderate. And then you wind up being sales friendly, so to speak. And in some ways, they're not wrong, because you can go out there and a lot of brands don't want to touch you if you're conservative or controversial. So they just say no. But the reason why it doesn't work is because of loyalty. It's because I know and you know that everything I say, I believe. There's never going to be a time where I say something I don't mean in my life. I don't have the memory to remember something that I said that I didn't believe. I'm serious about this. People tell me all the time, they'll come up to me like, Rich, I remember that bit you did about this or that, and I don't remember a lot of time. I get so in the zone when I'm doing the show. In the zone, in the moment, my flow, my chi, whatever it is, that I'm all in. And I don't read from a script, and I don't have notes. I know where I want to go, but I as I'm talking, I get there. It's been my style for years. If I was going to fake it, I'd have a very hard time because I wouldn't remember what I said. That's the truth. When you're in the moment, there's a book called Flow years ago that talks about this. When you are in your game and you achieve that state of flow, it's almost as if you are not conscious because you're so in the zone. That's how I feel when I do the show. But the reason why what I do works in terms of advertising is because you trust me. If I tell you Emmons Roofing's the best, you know they are. If you play this middle of the road game, you don't develop loyalty with people, and so then people don't trust you and they don't believe you. Because the loyalty bond does not exist there. This is the same problem that music radio has, because people listen to, they don't listen to the commercials. You know, they change the station. Whereas you'll listen to the commercials because, A, you want to know what I'm going to say next, but you also understand how important it is to support our advertisers in this day and age of cancel culture. And if you sell out your beliefs, or you sell out your audience because you think it's a good career move, it's going to wind up being disastrous if you go to the left, because they will never, ever accept you, because you'll never be far enough to the left for them. We'll take people who flip to the right. Let's take that as an example. I mean, you have people that left the Democrat Party, and they come over to our side of the aisle, and, you know, there's things we disagree with them or something, but we don't sit there and do this whole, like, check the box, and then if you don't fill every box, we cancel you, and we want you gone. Hey, you may not be our first choice for something. Like, Tulsi Gabbard's a great example. I mean, there's some people that still don't trust Tulsi Gabbard. That's fair enough that she's got to prove that to you. She says things a lot of times that I disagree with. Trump was a Democrat. He had to prove that to a lot of people in 2016 that he actually had changed his beliefs. It happens. But what we don't do is we don't say, well, you said this one thing 20 years ago, and so we're not letting you play in our clubhouse. We don't play that game. The left plays that game. We don't play that game. In other words, if Donald Trump were to speak at, say, Hillsdale College, Hillsdale College is not going to uninvite him to speak because at one point he was saying something about how he supports abortion rights, you know, passionately, or hates it, but, you know, whatever he said. Hillsdale College is not going to cancel him because it's something he said at one point. That's the difference between the left and the right. The left will cancel you because you'll never be to the far enough to the left for them. And so if you think it's going to be a good career move, you see this happen all the time. He's not the only one who did this. McConnell isn't the only one who's done this. This guy, John Avalon, who you see on CNN sometimes, his wife, Margaret Hoover. I mean, they've all kind of done this, and there's a lane for it. Like, I know, for example, that if I were to turn on Trump, turn on you, I could probably get a show, a TV show on MSNBC or CNN. I don't want that. I don't care. I don't care enough about that. That's not my dream in my life. And I couldn't then fake it every day for the rest of my life, because that's exhausting. It's exhausting. Ask any woman in your life and she'll tell you how exhausting it is to fake it. I'm just kidding. The point is that there's a lane for it. I mean, look at all these Republican hacks. Nicole Wallace is a great example. You sell out, you flip, you get a show, and you probably make more money than radio pays. I have no interest. And the reason why it's not a smart long-term career move is because inevitably they will cancel you, because you can never satisfy these people. The left does this all the time. The left will, you could be agree with them in 9 out of 10 things, but if it's not 10 out of 10, they'll cancel you. They'll throw you out. Our side just doesn't do that. You know, we'll argue with you. We'll argue about things, and we'll argue vociferously, but we don't cancel people that are not completely in line with us. We might try to have somebody run against them in a primary, but that's politics. But you're not going to have a conservative college cancel a commencement speaker because of something he said 20 years ago that he now has a different view on, or still believes, but it doesn't check the box. In this case, it's what Smirkanish wrote in his book, Flying Blind, How Political Correctness Continues to Compromise Airline Safety Post 9/11. And he wrote this in 2004. And Dickinson president John Jones wrote to him over the weekend to explain that he was no longer welcome to address this year's graduating class after students and faculty raised concerns about the book. This is what he said. He said, in the last few days, some Dickinson faculty and students raised complaints about a book I published in 2004. That's not a typo, 2004. They were left uncomfortable after a selective reading from my post 9/11 book through their 2024 lens. Signs at a student encampment this week display the demand of my cancellation alongside divestment in Israel. A cautionary tale for anyone in America who believes in fairness, common sense, the free exchange of ideas, rational decision-making, and the importance of leadership in the face of hysteria. Now, I would not be invited to address Dickinson in the first place because I'm not on that side of the political aisle. So I don't have to worry about this. Like, you know what I'm saying? They'll never ask me to come address them. Maybe Hillsdale will ask me someday to speak. It'd be a tremendous honor. But they're not going to ask me at Dickinson or at most of these colleges. You know what I mean? It's the same reason why conservatives don't get jobs hosting Meet the Press or Sunday Morning This Week with George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist. It's the same thing. So if you think career-wise, well, listen, I'll do this middle-of-the-road act. I'll be this, you know, middle-of-the-road shtick. Inevitably, though, you start appealing to the left. And then what happens is that you can't be to the left enough for them. But you come on the air and you're criticizing conservatives all the time. And then you're not left enough for the left. And then you're left going, where? Where are you? Where do you survive? And that's the problem. So I got to pick a team. And then when you pick that team, even though there are moments where you might disagree with that team, but I mean, fundamentally speaking, to think that Barack Obama would have been a better choice than John McCain, I can't stand John McCain. But I know that he would have been better than Obama because if nothing else, he would have been able to appoint Supreme Court justices who would have been better than Obama's picks. But there's a certain thing in society where it's like, well, yes, but you have overcome the... Being conservative is controversial. There's no question about it. Being conservative, being libertarian is controversial. A lot of companies don't want to touch it. A lot of companies don't want to go near it. I get it. But you're not going to be able to persuade an audience if the audience doesn't believe that what you say is really from the bottom of your heart. And then if you are playing the game of appealing to the left, eventually they're going to turn around and they're going to say, well, what you said 20 years ago, you're not part of the club. And it doesn't matter if you sip Chablis with us and everything else. We don't want you. I mean, how Howard Stern has not been canceled for all the stuff he did in the 90s. All the lesbian dating games, and they've gone back and they've scrubbed all that. So, I mean, good luck trying to find a clip of Howard Stern with, you know, the KKK guy, Daniel, whatever his name was. Good luck, because they've gotten rid of all that stuff. They don't want any of that stuff to come out. But the fact that, I mean, they cancel Smirkanish for something he wrote tells you a lot about the state of the left in this country. I mean, this is a guy who effectively canceled his own career as a conservative talk show host. Because after you endorse Obama, there's no coming back from that. It doesn't matter what your justification is. It doesn't matter. You can say you think he's better to get it bin Laden, but you're done. So he canceled himself as a conservative talk show host and then decided to create this new lane for himself as this middle-of-the-road guy. And look, I'm not trying to disparage his career move. At the time, it probably seemed to make a lot of sense. But if they can cancel him, if they're going to cancel him, what does that tell you about the state of the left? It tells you that they are the most illiberal people on planet Earth. And then how can you ever want to hang out with that side? Politically speaking, I mean. Because these are people who are so illiberal, which is the opposite of liberal. I mean, classical liberal is you embrace all ideas, you debate ideas, and illiberal means it's our ideas or you're out. You agree with what we say, and otherwise you're done. And this idea that there's this middle, you know what I mean? That there's this middle where you can appeal to both sides, inevitably that middle winds up taking you a little bit to the left. By the way, Trump is coming out to speak. If we can pop that up, I might be a few seconds ahead of you guys, but he just left court, so just fire it up whenever he starts speaking. And, I mean, they canceled Smirkanish. Who else are they going to cancel, right? But there's a lot of lessons there, I think, about being authentic and not trying to think that by hanging out with them is going to help you career-wise. Go ahead.
After a shortened session in the courthouse, let's listen.
The government just said that they want 2 to 3 more weeks. That means they want to keep me off the trail for 2 to 3 more weeks. Now, anybody in there would realize that there's no case. They don't have a case. Every legal scholar says they don't have a case. This is just a political witch hunt. It's election interfering. And this is really, truly election interference, and it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And in every poll, I'm leading by a lot. And they figure maybe they can do something here. Maybe they can do. This case should be over. This case should have never been brought. By the way, Alvin Bragg didn't want to bring the case. Your previous DA didn't bring the case. The FEC said they threw it away. They said, you got to be kidding. Southern District didn't bring the case. Nobody brought the case. And then Alvin Bragg brought the case as soon as, when I'm running and leading, that's when they decided, let's go bring a case. So it's a disgrace. But we just heard 2 to 3 more weeks. I thought they were finished today. And they are finished today if you look at what's happening. I thought they were going to be finished today, and they want 2 to 3 more weeks. The judge asked them, and playing right into the judge's hands. The judge is so happy about 2 to 3 more weeks. Because they all want to keep me off the campaign trail. That's all this is about. This is about election interference. How do we stop it? And it's a disgrace. And then you have the other thing that maybe is even more disgraceful is the gag order, where I can't basically, I have to watch every word I tell you people. You ask me a question, a simple question, I'd like to give it, but I can't talk about it. Because this judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day. But what's happening here is a disgrace, and the appellate courts ought to get involved. New York looks so bad. The New York system of so-called justice looks so bad between this judge and Gorin and Kaplan. You triple teamed with corrupt judges. It's a disgrace to our nation. So I should be out there campaigning. And they said, two, and the way I look at it, they're really talking about 3 weeks more. And by the way, they didn't even have enough to fill out the time. You know, we got out early today because they didn't have another witness. The government didn't have another witness. So they didn't even have time to fill it out. And then they complained. So I'll tell you what, I hope you report the story accurately. This is a real threat to our country, and it's a serious threat to the Constitution. In the meantime, Columbia University announced today they're not going to have their graduation. They're not going to have a ceremony. And that's happening all over the country. Our country is a mess. And the most important day in the history of our country is going to be November 5th of this year. That's called Election Day. It's going to be the most important day in the history of our country. What's going on with this judge is a disaster. Between the gag orders and the hatred he's got for me, and everybody sees it, okay, and you see it. You see it better than anybody. God bless the USA.
Is Stormy Daniels a liar? Is Michael
yes. All right, that's the former and future president right there speaking outside the courthouse. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Okay, I got a question for you. How's the bathroom in your house? See, when I tell you somebody's the best, you can trust me because not only can you believe me, but also because of the fact that I've used them. I've used Emmons. They remodeled the bathroom in our old house, and they're going to remodel the bathroom in our new house. And Matt and Stephanie are great people. They own the company, and they're really good friends of ours. They're just honest, and they do incredible work. And you could have a new bathroom for your home in 3 days' time. That's right, 3 days' time. How does that sound? Sounds great, right? Emmons will do a fantastic job for you, and they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And 3 days. 3 days to have the bathroom of your dreams, a bathroom that is your sanctuary, a bathroom that will improve the value of your home. All you got to do is go to callemmons.com. Callemmons.com and let their design team experts design a bathroom for you that can be completed in as little as 3 days' time. It's great. You can have the bathroom the way you've always wanted it. And you'll know that a bathroom needs to be updated basically if you are a little embarrassed to let people see it. It's kind of one of the standards to use. But also truly, it does increase value of your home. They always say that bathrooms and kitchens sell homes. So it really is great. And then they also have financing available for you as well. They did such a great job in our old house. My wife was thrilled, and they always say, happy wife, happy life. Everything from choosing the kind of stone we wanted in the shower, the kind of tile, all of it, every detail was impeccable, and they left nothing to chance. That's what you want in a company. So go to callemmons.com, callemmons.com, and reach out to them. Let their design team experts design something for you that you will absolutely love from a great local company that you can trust, because trust is everything. And if you can't trust a company, you certainly don't want them in your home. 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or call Emmons.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
See, I actually think of Reservoir Dogs when I hear this song.
Yeah, with
I don't think
Madsen.
It's McConish's radio show. I think of Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking into the ear.
Yeah, that's an iconic scene.
Yeah.
Michael Madsen dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So good, right?
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, that is a great movie. That's his second best behind Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's good, but I don't think it's as good as you think it is. Those movies age really well. I don't know if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be as good. I think it's a little boring at times.
I think Inglourious Basterds is up there as well.
It is. Not Django. As good as Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs, though.
Django Unchained, that's a good one. Pretty much all Quentin Tarantino's movies are good, I think.
He's got another one coming out, right?
No,
scrapped. He scrapped it.
What happened?
I guess he didn't like the way the production was heading or something, or maybe something in the script. He just scrapped the entire project.
I think it was actually supposed to be sort of a sequel to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, it was supposed to, like Cliff Booth, like Brad Pitt's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was supposed to like reprise that role in this movie.
Mm.
And I think that was the only part they casted officially. But he just scrapped the movie. The Movie Critic is the name of the movie. He scrapped it entirely.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's going back to the drawing board.
Imagine being that successful in life where you go, I'm just going to cancel. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not going to make a movie unless he thinks it's like perfect.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. That's the level of success we all should strive to be in, to have in life. Where you're so good, you go, you turn projects down. That's terrific.
He's gutsy because remember China wanted him to... I believe it was China. Wanted him to change part of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he said, no, just don't air it there.
What was the Bruce Lee thing?
Yeah, I think it was.
Good for him. Good for him for saying no. No, I'm not going to change it. That's what everybody should do. And when China asks them to change something, instead Disney bends over backwards to help them and change something. So I guess there's in the new Star Wars show, there's a non-binary character who uses they, them pronouns.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's probably stupid.
All the Star Wars stuff at this point is garbage, I think.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Not even because I'm not even citing the woke narratives as the reason that I don't watch. They're just not good. Woke right. narratives
they're not
aside,
original.
It's a bad product.
They're trying to follow like a formula. And it's just not, there's no original ideas flowing.
The only reason it gets any attention, any of those products, is because it has Star Wars plastered in the front of the, in front of the title. That's it.
Yeah, and there are a lot of nerds out there. How many people dressed up yesterday or Saturday for May the 4th day?
I saw those videos.
Such freaking nerds. I mean, come on.
Did you see all like the adults with their lightsabers?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's another word for them. It's called virgins.
It's pathetic.
Just saying. What was the other thing I wanted to mention? Oh, you know how they always say that this election is going to come down to burgers? This is going to be the burger election? We've talked about that before, remember? We've said that if like, how expensive a burger is going to be could decide the election. Mm-hmm. Well, McDonald's, your favorite, is looking to beef up with larger burgers. They want a bigger burger. And you know how everything in California, because it's $20 an hour is their minimum wage for fast food places. So everything there is more expensive. So if McDonald's does that and they make a bigger burger, what are they going to have to charge? Like $50 for it in California?
Yeah, McDonald's is already starting to get pricey. Because we had that story about a week or so ago where I think it was a 40-piece McNugget was $30 or something
yeah.
now.
Yeah, in California, it's $267.
In Texas, it was like half the price.
I mean, that's the thing. If you these minimum wage policies, I mean, they get passed on to the consumers, and it's just people turn around and go, I can't believe this. So every commercial now that airs that advertises something with a low price, it turns around and they have to put a disclaimer at the bottom, higher price in California. That's not a good look, Gavin Newsom. Just saying. Not a good look.
There's also an article in National Review from earlier today about how these minimum wage hikes have wiped out thousands of jobs already in California. Most of them in the fast food industry. It's just gone all automated.
And then, of course.
No more delivery drivers at Pizza Hut. That was another example. They just can't afford the wages.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything's going to be kiosks. As they keep doing this with the $20, everything's going to be kiosk. It's already happening. The McDonald's by me, you go in there, and there's a sign on the counter that says, please order at the kiosk. No one's there. They're all making the food in the back. But how soon until that's replaced by machines? So you'll go to a kiosk and you'll order. There'll be like one person working there, and then everything else will be made by automation.
No, they're already experimenting with deep fryers that are automated.
Sure.
It's not necessary to have a human there to actually dunk the things into the boiling grease.
Yeah. And it's also safer to not have a human dunk the things in the boiling grease because the geniuses that work there oftentimes burn themselves because there's a reason why they're still, as adults, dumping things into burning hot grease. I'm not trying to job shame. I'm just saying that, you know. Not a lot of, for some people, it's as far as they're going to go in life, career-wise. And now you're going to take away their job. So what are they going to do? What's that person going to do now? If he can't drop a fryer, what's he going to do? Seriously. Go and what, split the atom? You know what I mean?
It's also a great entry-level position for someone who maybe doesn't have a college
sure.
degree and doesn't have any other method of acquiring experience on the job.
Or I got news for you, somebody who does have a college degree in something like lesbian aquatics or whatever they're offering now at places like Dickinson College and finds out, hey, nobody wants to hire me because my degree is stupid and I guess I'll go work at McDonald's. We always make the joke that they're working at Starbucks, but I don't know. I mean, how long does Starbucks survive?
I think maybe a little bit longer than a McDonald's, just because people that go to Starbucks are used to the exorbitant prices. I think
that's
the
true.
Idiots at Starbucks will basically pay anything for their
An elitist, like, you probably love it.
I don't even drink coffee. I've never been to Starbucks.
But you're right, though. There's an elite
one time
factor
for a breakfast
to it.
Sandwich. Yeah, no, they'll pay whatever price is thrown at them, I think.
Can I have my skinny soy latte mochaccino, and can you make that with nothing but air? So I have nothing else in it. Vegan, please, of course. And then it's all burnt. The coffee's always burnt there, too. I will. The only time I'll ever go to Starbucks is if there's no other option. I'll go Wawa first before Starbucks every day of the week. And save a lot of money. Also, the lines at Starbucks are annoying because of the way people order. You know, everybody's got their way of doing it. Can I get?
They're not just ordering straight off the menu. You're saying they have very specific needs for their beverage, and they must be met. Oh, that is annoying.
I want the flat white, but can you make it vegan with soy? And can you put stevia in it instead of sugar? And can you take out everything else in it? And just give me an empty cup.
I'm sure the employees love those modifications.
So that may be harder to do automation because you still need somebody to make that coffee because there's so many variations to it. But the new thing now that I've seen at a lot of places is that you go in and there's a machine. It's kind of similar to what we have in our break room here. You press a button. It grinds the beans for you. Pours you a cup of coffee. You take it to a register. That's what I did at Wegmans the other day. So I'm at Wegmans, and I wanted a cup of coffee. There used to be a coffee bar there. And I would go, and I'm looking around. I go, where's the coffee bar? But I needed a cup of Joe. It was early Sunday morning. I had to buy some stuff. I was hosting dinner, and I had to go get some ingredients. I had to get my guanciale, my pig's cheek. I had to get some veal shanks. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking around. I say to the woman, where's the coffee bar? She goes, oh, we have these machines now. So you go over the machine, you press the button, it grinds the beans for you. And I said, how do I pay for it? She said, you just go over and scan it. So I walk over to the automatic checkout list, no person there, whatever they call that. And I scan my cup of coffee and I leave. I didn't interact with a human being except asking the woman what I do. That's it. So every time they raise the minimum wage, there's going to be a retaliation in the private sector. They're going to have to, because you can't charge $32.99 for a freaking Happy Meal at McDonald's. You can't do that. I don't care if it's California. You're not going to be able to get away with it for long. So they're going to have to figure out a way. And all these people that think this is the humane thing to do is all these people start losing their jobs. And shame on them, because Seattle did this years ago, and we saw what happened in Seattle. There was $15 an hour. They were the first city to do it, and they had a massive job loss after that. So,
yeah, I remember, I think it was University of Washington did a study after Seattle put that $15 minimum wage in place. And it turned out, obviously, employers were paid more per hour than they would have received otherwise. But their overall earnings decreased by thousands of dollars per year.
Yes.
So it didn't benefit anyone.
No, it doesn't benefit anybody. People wind up paying higher prices, so then they lose money, and then they have to let people go. It becomes a vicious economic cycle, and then the machines just take over. I mean, every time I go to the grocery store now, I pay attention to how many more of the automatic checkout machines they're putting in. They're not taking them out. You know, pay attention next time you go. You'll notice more and more of that. And now they're doing other things too, where they have it so that you can weigh your veggies and get a scan thing. You know, you put in the number and it prints out a little thing. You put it on your thing. They've had that for a few years, but they're just finding more and more ways to cut people's jobs out. And the left with their minimum wage policies is playing right into that. Let's do our social media check-in here, courtesy of Cherry Hill Vavo. Carrie Nelson says, Rich, the only thing worse than a man who dresses up in cosplay is one who dresses up in cosplay and lives at home with mommy. And Pat27 wants to know if Lesbian Aquatics was the name of my Beach Boys cover band in college. It was, Pat. Great memory. We closed the VU that night. It was fantastic. Sharon K wants to know if Henry got his lightsaber out on May the 4th. Did you? You freaking nerd.
Well, I actually don't own one. I just think those high-end ones are cool. So
he's aspiring to get to purchase.
No, I would never spend $500 on a lightsaber. Let's make that clear. I just think they are cool.
Yeah. They might be cool, but you can't. Nobody should pay that kind of money.
They are not cool. They are not cool.
They are cool.
No, they're not.
Yeah, because if you hit something, they have like when the lightsabers hit each other in like battle, and that white light like pops up where they intersect.
Yeah.
Yeah, those lightsabers can do that. I think that's pretty cool.
That is not cool. If it cut through something, I'd be interested.
Well, sure. That's obviously the next step in this, but not there.
This is why no woman took you up on your offer to when you threw out your hotel room key at the Grand Hotel on Friday. This conversation right here.
I think it's because he didn't eat the cheese balls.
Possibly that.
I didn't have the equipment.
Anyway, on that note, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, go see him today for your perfect smile. He's my buddy. He's my friend. He's the master of dental implants. And Bridget is getting caps now replaced with Dr. Mike. She's got her temporaries in now. She'll have the new ones in by the end of the month. He's such a great guy, and he's a great dentist. And that's why for 10 consecutive years in a row, Dr. Mike Veneria has been named a master of dental implants by his peers. And he has two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, right over the bridge, easy to get to from wherever you are. The best thing about Dr. Mike is that his primary concern, his focus, is the level of care that he provides to each and every patient. They have these chain dental offices now, but they're concerned about cost. That's why you want to go to Veneria Dental. 856-786-2020 is the number. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. You know, we're getting into special occasion season now. Got all the graduations coming up, weddings. How's your smile? Your smile is going to be in all those pictures. So if it needs some work, call my buddy Dr. Mike. You deserve to have a beautiful smile, and you deserve to have pictures those pictures follow you around for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? If you're at a wedding, if you're at a graduation, whatever it is, whatever the special occasion is. So make sure you look your best by having a beautiful smile. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, the master of dental implants, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
So Michael Pelka, our buddy Stunt Brain, just sent us a story about Starbucks being in free fall stock-wise. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. The collapse of Starbucks from a stock perspective. Starbucks CEO went on live TV attempting to revive the stock. Says it was a very tough quarter due to the pressure on consumers, China, and all kinds of other challenges. Frankly, I'm surprised Sid didn't tell me this. Sid always winds up following this stuff, but Sid did tweet that liberals want establishments that sell meat to close. Well, they do. No question about that. And they also want people to be able to steal. Yes, very, very true. But this is what it's a little bit from, I guess it was Jim Cramer in CNBC. Take a listen.
There were three reasons for this. First, we saw unexpected pressures on our occasional customers, more intense than we expected, that impacted their visitation. Second, the choppiness of the recovery in China continued with a more intense price war than what we expected. And third, challenges of our business in the Middle East that impacted us not just in the Middle East, but also in other geographies.
Okay.
Clearly.
I understand. Now, what I'm trying to figure out, sir, is why did you not feel the need to pre-announce this shortfall, given the fact in the previous quarter, your CFO said that she felt that you could have a earnings per share growth in the range of 15 to 20%. This is a substantial decline from that. And given the fact that you said on the call that April did not end well, I'd like to know why you did not feel the need to come out and say our quarter is going to be substantially worse than expected at least 4 weeks ago.
I think, Jim, we've been working on action plans to address these headwinds. And so what we wanted to come back with was not just the announcement, but also the action plans that we have in place, which, by the way, are not business as usual.
Hmm. Damn shame. All right. Well, it's Biden's America. What can you say? And also, a lot of people are just cutting back on coffee. I mean, a lot of things that are expensive that were considered treats. Like, you may not want to spend $6 on a latte. You may not be able to at this point. You just probably can't. So, it's a lot of this. Let's not discount that fact. I mean, there's a point, a price point, where people say, I'm out of anything. And particularly if it's a very expensive cup of coffee when you can just make it at home. Or you can get it cheaper, you know, at Wawa. So things that were treats for a lot of people, you go to Starbucks and you're spending $12 on two coffees, you know, and then maybe a, I don't know, a muffin, now it's $15. I don't have the money for that. So that's another fact of this that I think people are going to have to recognize too. There's always ramifications for this stuff. At some point, as inflation continues and people are making less money, they've got to make cutbacks. Now, the Biden administration is trying to make a cutback onto the military aid that was promised to Israel by Congress when Congress voted on this. Now, whether you agree with Israel getting foreign aid or not is not the point. Congress approved it, and the Biden administration is now trying to stop it, trying to hold it up, because the Biden administration doesn't want to be seen as really helping Israel. And also, the Biden administration doesn't think it has to do whatever it's told. It does whatever it wants. Doesn't listen to the courts, doesn't listen to Congress. And that is the big story of the day today, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So the Wall Street Journal had a piece about this, editorializing this, and John Kirby was just asked about it a few moments ago. The report says the United States put a hold last week on a weapons shipment to Israel, and that's not going to help end the war. And you could contrast that with Ukraine, for example, in which case the aid to Ukraine was approved, and within minutes, the weapons were on their way over. And the Axios report on Sunday that came out yesterday, that the U.S. put a hold last week on a shipment of U.S.-made weapons to Israel. Well, John Kirby, who's the acting president of the United States of America right now because the president can't speak, John Kirby was asked about this earlier today at the White House podium. This is what he said.
I understand you don't want to get into the specifics here, but is it your understanding that this is Hamas's final offer? I mean, is there still room to negotiate here?
I think it's going to depend on our evaluation and the Israelis' evaluation of the response and where we go from here.
And as Steve mentioned, the Israelis are already warning people to evacuate Gaza. If they do go through with this operation, is the U.S. willing to consider putting limits or conditions on aid to Israel?
I won't get ahead of where we are right now, Mary, in the process here. And I'm certainly not going to speak to hypothetical operations that haven't happened yet. So I think we just have to see what transpires. The president was very direct, and consistently so this morning, that we don't want to see major ground operations in Rafah that put these people at greater risk.
But you know, a month ago, the administration did make clear that the U.S. would change its approach, right, if Israel didn't take significant steps to address the humanitarian crisis.
That's
Does
right.
that still hold? Is it possible that the U.S. could change course
of
if
course.
The humanitarian process isn't improved?
Of course. We always we always have the right to adjust our policies as appropriate, and that has not changed, no.
And presumably an operation in Rafah would jeopardize steps to address the humanitarian.
All I can say is we've been very direct and very consistent in our views of concerns about operations in Rafah.
Mm-hmm. Is that an answer to the question? I'm not really sure if I got an answer out of that. It sounds to me like that's exactly what they're doing. They're holding back on the aid that Congress passed. Now, again, Biden signed this. Biden signed this into law, but it was a scam. He wanted to make sure that Ukraine got the money because Ukraine has the receipts on Joe Biden. Israel doesn't. Played once again. All right, we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Don't forget May 11th, our Trump rally watch party live at Mulligan's Shore Bar in Wildwood. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. The rally starts at 5 p.m. It's going to be great. I want to see you there. This coming Saturday, May 11th, Mulligan's Shore Bar for Donald Trump's live rally. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.